Welcome to We Match. Whoop, I messed up. It's all right.
Keep that in. Keep that in, editor. Keep that
Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two best friends dish on all the TV content we've been binging in our remote work-based lives. We're your hosts, Jocelyn.
Antonia. Hi, best friend. How are you?
I haven't spoken to you in 7 days.
7 whole days and not a word from you.
Ah.
7 whole nights.
You gotta do that.
I'll be trying to get the and
So
sometimes
what's
it comes.
going on? How you been feeling?
Just tired, busy working this adult life. I love the long weekend.
Oh my
Thanksgiving was
God.
great. A lot of good food. How was your first Thanksgiving as someone's wife?
As a
She's
new
a
graduate.
newlywed.
Very, very regular. We had we cooked a nice little small meal and ate our dinner while watching Home Alone. Just me and my man.
Classic.
I had a five, like 5 days off because I was off since Wednesday, and I felt so refreshed going back to work on Monday. Even though I'm remote regardless, but still, like just mentally being able to sleep in for 5 days was really, really nice. No complaints.
Yes, and
No
eating
complaints.
food.
And eating food, yes, because we didn't have no company over, so we got to have all the leftovers. And I love them. Now we're finishing up our leftovers, so leftover time is done. But we
Yeah,
enjoy.
you at that cutoff point. After like Tuesday, you gotta let it go.
Yeah, by Tuesday it's like okay, like it's like all right, I'm tired of eating this anyway. So yes, and yes. Well, what
All
we
right,
got going on
guys.
today, girl?
So, of course, we're gonna start with our weekly grab or just our major standout moments from what we've been watching. Then we're gonna give our awards for piss poor performance of the week. Well, just basically telling somebody you were wrong, you should have did what you did, get it together. Then we're gonna do a deep dive on some shows we've been watching, some not safe for work opinions, just how we feel about the things we're watching, and we will end it with some positivity and a good word to start the rest of your week.
Yes.
Okay, weekly grab. You go first. What have you been watching? What's been catching your eye?
Okay, so definitely Sex Life of College Girls. I really love how they release two episodes a week. So you can just like catch up on two. The last two episodes have been so good, so in-depth on so many different levels. I mean, overall, it's just a great show, but we get to see Leighton really coming to terms with being a lesbian after she finally came out. She's coming out, like she's like it's a process, and we're watching her on this journey. And in this process of her coming out, she is hooking up with everybody and they mama, and she catches chlamydia, and yes, and she has to one that was an interesting conversation because the school nurse is like, "Girl, you got chlamydia." And she's like, oh, that's impossible because I haven't slept with any guys. And she's like, girl, you got chlamydia. And she now needs to figure out if she should tell her recent partners, which are a lot of recent partners. And that's a very always interesting dynamic for people who have gone through the whole phase and you might have had an experience with the STD and that idea of like, should I tell? Should I even confront who I believe gave it to me?
Oof.
Oftentimes people don't, and it like watching her go through this, it will resurface those memories because that's a very common experience for people that are having sex.
I have to watch this show.
Yes, I'm telling
I
you. First of all,
definitely I started it, but I haven't finished it, so I have to watch
Leighton's
it.
story is really good because she's that, the little sorority girl, the white girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, mad fashionable, wears all luxury designers. And she's a lesbian. And she's coming to terms with this, but it's hard for her because she's thinking, like, I'm the popular girl. How can I be gay? But you, girl, you gay and live your truth. And then Bella, she is the one that is like an aspiring comedian and she is starting her comedy magazine. And kind of getting real competitive with it because she's hooking up with a guy that runs the male comedy magazine. But she, you know, she has sex with him, but she starts having sex with this other guy called the Short King, which is hilarious because how many, you know, like, is it a bad thing to hook up with a short guy? And as women, we put this pressure on ourselves of like, they have to meet a certain stature, but short guys need love too, and they got the love. So that
Listen,
okay.
sometimes the love of your life is 2 foot 4, and you might be 5 foot 2, but love
Okay.
is love.
So it's called The Short King, but Tanae, you're gonna love that show. So that definitely caught my attention. I watched a documentary on Netflix called Was That Black Enough for You? I love history, and that one breaks down kind of Black history only through film of like the start of Hollywood to the end of the 1970s. Kind of like telling the story of how kind of it ended, where they the F, if you saw this boom in the 70s with all the blaxploitation films,
Right.
and then it kind of just dissipated by the 80s, where now you're only, you know, only certain kind of Black films are being invested in, and kind of what that led to. But you know, we here, we still here, and the representation has come back, but at the same time, it's just a really good documentary that also highlights Black history. Elsewhere on Netflix, since we have this show, Tanea, I saw everybody talking about Wednesday. And
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, me and Tanea have a show. We talk about TV. I know I need to be the one to check out Wednesday because Tanea is not going to check out Wednesday,
You
okay?
100% know, because everyone at my job's talking about it. I'm like, nope, don't have any interest.
Yes. So as it goes, Wednesday is good. It's worth all the talk.
Okay.
For those of us,
Okay.
like for me as a Harry Potter fan, it is edgy Harry Potter on a million. Wednesday is, she's such an admirable character. You know, you're if for those, you know, we could remember Wednesday from the early Addams Family movies with
Yes.
Christina Ricci, who actually is in this new show playing the like dorm supervisor. But this girl Wednesday is played by Jenna Ortega, who does an amazing job at just remaining emotionless and stoic, but she's solving this mystery around surrounding this a secret society within the school. So it's everything you want when it comes to fantasy, mystery, thriller, costume design, amazing acting. So kudos to Tim Burton. And it is a lot, it's very diverse, and I'm proud to see that because we do know, you know, Tim Burton has admitted in the past to he just never really kind of related to having Black characters or dark skin characters in his films. He always just kind of took to not even just white, but like pale skin characters. So seeing Wednesday be very modern with people of all shades and ethnicities, it's really good. And then my last one, y'all know I got my ear to the streets because I'm a journalist. So I got advanced screeners of Real Housewives of Miami. I watched the first three episodes, y'all, and it is
Woohoo!
good with a capital T at the end. I mean, Larsa, I was defending Larsa on Twitter because some people were saying like Larsa brings nothing to the show. Larsa does bring actually a great deal to the show. She's an easy target because it's like she does kind of give off this personality of like, I'm young, but I know I'm like 50.
Yeah.
But I'm an influencer, you know, like I'm figuring it out. So it's like it's easy to come for her. She has the BBL body. But at the same time, she defends herself. She is Larsa's from Chicago, let's not forget. And if you come for her,
Period.
you know, if you come for her, she's gonna come right back for you. So what you're seeing in the first three episodes is this battle between Larsa and Lisa Hochstein, who is at this point in the season, because the season starts next week, December 8th. At this point in the season, Lisa is still very unaware that your husband is about to leave your ass. So you are seeing Lisa project in a lot of different ways, victimized. She is the victim, you know, and it's like she in all reality, with this feud between her and Larsa, she starts it. So Larsa finishes it, you know, and when Larsa comes, like digs, her dig hurt. And Lisa's getting so butthurt about it. And then there's other a small feud between Alexia and Gertie, because it's like Gertie feels like,
Gertie, okay.
yes, Gertie the Haitian. I love Gertie. Gertie feels like Alexia only reaches out to her when, because you know, Gertie is the top event planner. in Miami. She was just in that she was featured in Vogue. So Gertie feels like Alexia only really reaches out to her and corresponds with her when it's for an event. And Alexia now feels like Gertie doesn't want to do business with her because she was featured in Vogue and now she's like too good. So it's like a misunderstanding, but it's really good. I'm telling you, I do not know why Miami is on Peacock and Salt Lake City is on Bravo. It really needs to be switched.
I once again will catch up to Miami because everyone keeps saying it's really good.
It is.
That is a binger, but it sounds interesting. I think it's always interesting when it airs. Like, you know that Lisa is gonna go through what she goes through, but it seems like she don't know it yet.
She does
and
not.
It's gonna be so sad. Oh,
and all the signs are there. I mean, they were all the signs were there last season. So now what you're seeing this season, honestly, and I don't know if it's editing, you know, because they could always say that she could come out and say it. But what I'm seeing from the viewer's perspective in the first three episodes is you're kind of seeing how Lisa makes the makes things difficult. And if you're already spending all your husband's money, depending on him for everything, she's saying she doesn't cook. She doesn't clean. You have a full staffed house, you know, for those two young children. So, you know, what really do you contribute other than it's like you're taking care of the kids, but with assistance, you're seeing the nannies there with her all day. And then at the same time, when Lenny will want to bring something up or try to joke about something, she gets so mad, like, oh, okay, I guess I wasn't talking. Okay, fine. You know, and it's like, whoa, like, you know, it's again, that the kind of a victim thing that you're going to see her do with Larsa. So I don't know. I think in a way, if the editors were kind of trying to let you see what was causing the friction between her and Lenny, because Lenny's checked out. You see him all in his phone. He probably was talking to his girlfriend the whole time.
Damn, I'm sorry, Lisa. Yeah. I'm going to find out who you are, because that's sad, girl.
That is sad. Regardless, it's sad. Y'all was married for 12 years. That's just, you know, come on. That's your partner. And he had checked out and he didn't tell her. He wasn't honest with her. So she's still thinking that they're working it out. Even if there were issues, she's thinking that they're going to work it out. And you're over here in love with someone else. So, yeah. But that's what I've been watching, y'all.
Whew. All right. We're going to pray for her. So, my weekly grab, I'm going to start off with an oldie but goodie. I still watch it. I've watched almost every season. Mm-hmm. It is MTV's The Challenge, but this season is called Ride or Dies. Mm-hmm. So everybody has a partner. Now, some people are partners with their boyfriend or girlfriend who were never on the show. Of course, some people worked on like Big Brother before, so they have a relationship. You have some old partners and some good faces you see, like Veronica and Darrell from like the Road Rules seasons. Then you see these newcomers. If you watched the Shore show on Paramount, they had a light-skinned guy from Are You the One? Anyway, it's teams of two. And they're fighting and they're doing challenges. And it's just a really good show, no matter how old it is. Mm-hmm. People will do anything for money. People always make the wrong moves. Nelson, who has like never won anything ever, is finally winning. And he's in power. And
he's winning.
He's winning. Like Nelson was like the like floater of every season of the challenge.
Every season.
He would never win a daily challenge. And if he was voted down, he would almost always go home. If he like went into like the final eliminating challenge. But this season with his partner Nerys, he's winning. Like he won two. He won his first like in like 8 years and then he won another one. Wow. So now because he's not like a newbie, he's a vet, but he kind of can like play a lot of different corners. It's interesting seeing how his mind works and who his loyalty is to, because we have Bananas back, which we'll talk about later. But it's interesting to see how Nelson can play a game, not like a newbie, but not like a vet. So very interesting. I do suggest everybody catch up.
Yes, I need to. I wasn't watching it because I thought it was on Paramount Plus and I have deactivated my subscription, but you're saying it's on MTV, right?
Yes, it's on MTV. It's shown on regular channels. You can watch it on demand if you log in with an email, but it's like so good. And I'm just like, yes, come on, give it to me, drama. And like sporty shit that I would never do.
Yes.
Next is a documentary that I watched. One thing my best friend knows is I would not watch Wednesday. I did not watch it, but I did watch Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
What is
I
that
love
about?
documentaries about like crazy weird shit that I wouldn't have known if happened. And this is about a real life lawsuit that happened in 1995. So we were in elementary school. A 20-year-old kid from Seattle saw a Pepsi commercial where they used to sell Pepsi points, like Pepsi points, you would get free gifts. And the people in the commercial put for 7 million Pepsi points, you can get a Harrier jet, like an army jet, but they didn't put a disclaimer in the commercial. So the guy took it to his lawyer friend and he was like, let's do the points. He found a loophole in like the point book that said that you can purchase points. So instead of like having to save for 7 million points, he had a check for $700,000 because I think you got 10 cent on the bottle. Regardless, he had the money. He sent it to Pepsi. Pepsi was like, we were joking. He was like, where was the fine print? So for like years, it was his lawsuit because he really wanted this jet. I don't want to give it away just in case y'all want to watch it, but
I
I
have,
just.
yeah, I've invested. I mean, I'm
I'm
definitely.
telling you.
Okay, well, what would you say would be our takeaway from this watching this documentary?
Fine print, motherfuckers. We need to read the fine print, okay? Because I know every time we sign something, we don't read it. Sometimes you could be signing your life away. Sometimes you might be owed money. So now I like read fine print and it's annoying because now I'm like, wait, I want to make sure I'm not sending away a kidney.
I
So
mean,
fine print.
I don't think they was expecting somebody to spend $700,000 to win the damn contest.
Right, and they never made that mistake again.
Right, because people is crazy out here.
He was like, oh, I want the jet. And then they
He
were like,
really invested $700,000 into a
he had.
contest instead of just going to either like buy a jet, invest in a business to get the jet.
Yeah, the jet was 32 million, and he would have had to spend 4 million to buy, I think, over 50 million bottles of
I
Pepsi.
see.
But the point system had a loophole. And basically, he wrote the jet in. He had the money. It's just so interesting because they really tried to play him like he was crazy for thinking he could get that jet.
And
But why
clearly
you had it on TV?
he clearly got a bag. So y'all, oh, he's like lawyer's fees, a legal journey, no problem. I'm taking
Listen,
their ass to court, and no matter how long it take, because I'm getting this jet.
and the craziest shit is that one of the people helping him back in the 90s. Freaking Michael Avenatti, aka porn star lawyer, aka he's on house arrest for trying to blackmail Nike, aka he was a scum in the 90s. So that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
It was just like out of all people in this documentary, Michael Avenatti
Ah.
is it was weird. It was crazy. But I've watched that, and of course, the only housewives I'm like very consistent up to date with is Potomac. Of course, we're catching on to this saga that is the Mia Wendy situation. I want to say that I'm just proud of Candace. I want to give her props because a lot of people talk about this like artist thing, but like Soul Train Awards, she was like on it. You know, she's doing her singing thing. Mia sounds ridiculous, and I tweeted this, but she reminds me of a fan who watched every season. Who's trying to be like a Nene or like a Bethany, and instead is just trying too hard. So I'm just
Those
over
are
her,
always the
and I
worst.
want her to go. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
fake.
those are like I feel like Mia represents what like Marlo and even the one that they didn't keep on Atlanta, LaToya, like the Thirsties. It's like you're so extra to be on the show. Now you're on the show and it's like you're trying to create a moment. You can't want to create a moment. Like you just naturally have to be crazy. Be difficult.
Exactly.
And those are
Exactly.
the most iconic housewives. I just was confused with the part where Mia didn't have on any makeup. I was like, girl, where's your teeth? It looked like her teeth. She looked crazy, child. She looked so crazy in the episode. And then now when we're getting to see more of her true colors, which is like, what are they? Then it's like the essence of a person is going to either make them look better or worse. And so
Right.
the essence that we're seeing of Mia is making her look worse. And then again, Robin is still continuing to get dragged because what happened last week, an article came out where she finally broke her silence on her response to the Mia and Wendy fight and why she was recording it. And she came up with this bullshit ass excuse that she was trying to protect Wendy because she knows that she has a lot more to lose. But then literally in the episode, when the producers asked, "Are you're more on Mia's side?" And she said, "Yeah, because I don't like Wendy."
So she should fire whoever put that statement out.
I mean, right. But it sounds, I mean, the outlet can't say Robin said if she didn't say it. Like if it's a if it's a rep for Robin, then they have to say reps for Robin say. So that's literally what she said in that article is what she said. And so it just kind of the episode just further showed that you're a liar, you know, but she's gonna get confronted at the reunion because you know it is what it is.
She is a perfect segue to your piss poor performance.
Lord, right, but I'm not talking about her this week. I'm done. I dragged her last week.
I'm saying, speaking of piss poor.
Yeah, but if speaking of piss poor, I'm going into love during lockup. Okay, Emily. Emily is dating a guy named Dowry who is in jail. Emily has been dating Dowry for 3 years. Emily has never met Dowry in person. She has never gone to visit him. Her initial excuse was the pandemic, which makes sense. It was 2020. You couldn't go see inmates. Then after that, she said that he went to a jail where only immediate family was able to visit. But now she can go visit him and she just hasn't. He is friends with someone who has been released and his Storm. And his friend Storm is starting some kind of business. We don't know what the business is, but he's starting a business and Dowry wants to invest in it. Dowry made Emily his power of attorney. So she has rights over all of his finances. And so when he got, you know, everybody got stimulus checks, even inmates. And so when he got his stimulus check, it went to Emily. And so in the first episode in the season premiere, Emily is talking meth like crap, like bragging, basically saying like, if Dowry ever tries to play me, I'm going to scam the scammer because I got all his money. The one thing you'll notice, I mean, overall, like Emily is a very, very curvy woman.
Okay, curvy. So
when you now look at the picture that they're showing that she sent Dowry that he has in his mind, we're not exactly sure if this is exactly who, if Dowry knows what she looks like right now. You understand what I'm saying? So now Dowry wants to give $200 to Storm to invest in his business. Emily doesn't like Storm because she says one time he was telling Dowry to hang up the phone on her. But Dowry, you know, Storm is also on the show. So Storm is like, he heard her cursing Dowry out wild crazy. He was like, yo, hang up the phone, bang it on her.
Wow.
Which is like, you know, it's his friend. He's going to stick up for his friend. And regardless, like, it is what it is. That's not a big thing. Emily is like kind of already making it difficult to meet up with Storm to give him this money, but they meet up and basically they get into an argument because Storm is trying to ask her, what is your problem with me? And she tells him that. And then he explains to her, he's like, yo, well, you were being disrespectful to my friend. Like, why does it seem like you're trying to control him, control everything about him and who he speaks to and his money? And she just basically curses him out and says that he's disrespectful. But we're watching this on screen and it's just like, well, we're still kind of confused. Like, okay, what exactly was disrespectful other than you just not liking him?
Right.
And you see her call Dowry on the phone and tell him he can never speak to Storm again. If he wants to have her in his life, then he has to cut Storm off. And again, it's like, this man is in jail. He really don't got nobody but you and like his immediate family. And then now this was his friend that's still his friend on the outside. And you're now just making up some random excuse to try to end this relationship. But at the same time, Storm has now seen Emily in person. And he, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, he knows. Yes. I would go to my friend. Drazen, if it was me, I want you to come see me. And I want you to tell me they don't look what you think they look like.
Right. Also, Emily is threatening to try to put Storm in jail, saying like, I know he's still doing something illegal. And you know, just kind of making little idle threats that she'll put him back in jail. And it's just, it's very nasty and it's very low and it's like showing her true colors. And it's just like, why is this who you are? You know, but, ultimately I would say the lesson in that is just like a lot of times people are saying to people dating inmates, oh, you need to be careful, they're in jail, da 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 da. The inmates also need to be careful because they're very vulnerable already. They're in vulnerable situations, and you could find yourself getting latched to someone that has no good intentions for you. And it's just unfortunate, but I do see Dowry getting out of jail, and I do not see them working because I don't see that working. And then my last piss poor performance is for Martell Holt. Love and Marriage Huntsville. Okay. On Saturday's episode, we see Martell and Melody on the first day of their family vacation. This is their first family vacation since the divorce. Melody took time to heal and to feel like she was in a place where she was comfortable to be able to have Martell back around while they vacationed together with their kids like they did in the old days. All throughout the trip, you're seeing Martell make little sarcastic jokes of them getting back together, which mind you, they are divorced because Martell cheated horribly. Like, he had a whole affair. He had a whole mistress who he ended up impregnating around the same time as their youngest, their fourth child. So Melody and Martell's fourth child is literally around the same age as his son with the other woman named Arion. And so now what you're seeing is Martell still kind of make remarks as if he wants Melody back, but it's like, you're a cheater. He explains his cheating. Okay, so now the other thing he does, I know, Tanea, you watch clips, so you know that the Scotts, Letitia and Marcel Scott, they don't really, it's like a rocky relationship, but ultimately,
yes,
Melody and Letitia, despite being sorors, they don't get along. They don't have the best of relationship. Martell makes the executive decision to invite the Scotts to their family vacation because they happen to be in Florida at the same time. This highlights Martell's narcissistic personality. He doesn't care. First of all, he doesn't care that Melody paid for everything and she invited him to be with their children. He's saying, even on the episode, this is my vacation. And he felt he had the right to invite people that Melody doesn't even care to be around to a house that she's paying for. And then while he's speaking to Marceau, he is explaining why he cheated on Melody during the marriage because she wasn't cooking and giving him enough sex.
Wow, he said that?
Yes. Yes.
He's a scum. He's disgusting. And
Yes. And I still like that he's being so transparent on the show because Martell is very charming. Even as he says the narcissistic things he said it in such a natural way. So it kind of shows you how a woman who might be a little naive could easily fall for those tricks. And I would hope that's why I love Love and Marriage Huntsville, because it just highlights just a lot of different things as it relates to the Black family. And I would just hope that the women watching this show can just see all the red flags about Martell and know to stay away from the Martells and their DMs and text messages, because there's a Martell everywhere. And that's
one thing I want you to take from this, is that there's a Martell everywhere. Yes.
That's my piss poor.
Well, thank you. Piss off to them. I'm going to have a small piss poor performance to my best friend for spoiling the winner of Drag Race, because we were talking about our show and I was like, oh, I have to watch it. And I think she missed that. And then she's like, yeah, because I saw on Twitter that Danny Beard. And I was like, ah, don't need to watch it. So.
Wait, so you didn't watch it?
No.
That is so ridiculous.
I wanted, because I really was voting for Cheddar the Gorgeous. And then I guess the tweet that she saw, she was telling me was that a lot of people are saying that it's manufactured and kind of like the winners are chosen. From what I saw thus far, those are my top two, Cheddar Gorgeous or Danny Beard. I'd be interested in knowing if those were the final two, but I kind of, whatever, it's over. Danny Beard won. Congratulations to you. My real piss poor performance is for another documentary, because I love to learn about real life. Mm-hmm. Called God Forbid. Now, I don't know if you know about this or heard about this guy, but his name was Dr. Falwell. His dad created, of course, a Christian university in Kentucky that only Christians and people that weren't Brown could go to, and he became this big evangelist.
Yeah.
Yes, he's an evangelist and he's a preacher, and him and his wife became famous, but actually they were freakos. They met a pool boy in Vegas, and they ended up having like a little threesome relationship where he would watch the wife and the pool boy get it on, and he would just be in the room. This went on for years. He put them in the business. He put the pool boy in the business. He gave him millions of dollars. And then, of course, he decides to endorse Trump for president and then acts like he doesn't know the pool boy, tries to throw him under the bus. And it just tells the story of this young Cuban American, like, having fun, thinking, like, not even knowing who they were and how his life turned upside down. And it just really grinds my gears, especially with people of faith who are so quick to judge. The stuff that they do behind closed doors makes no sense. He was inappropriate with women on their campus. You can't drink. He would do calls like visibly drunk. So I think he's a horrible person. Of course, he resigned from the school. They actually sued him to get like his money back so he doesn't get a severance. He's just like, him and his freaky wife are doing what they're doing. But it's just how sad he really told people, like, no one's going to believe this pool boy. I'm this rich preacher. I'm better. And he ultimately has to suffer. And nobody likes him.
Well,
so,
I'm happy he got his karma.
He sure did. He sure did. And the wife was really in love with the pool boy. Like, really in love and, like, sad and tried to sabotage his real relationships because she was in love with him. Oh my God, it was like a Stella Got Your Groove Back was crazy, like Basic
Which
Instinct.
One is this on? Because I saw it. I didn't watch
it's
it.
It's on Hulu. It's called God.
Okay, yeah, I did see, yeah, because I saw, you know, they'll show the whole big advertisement when you sign in. I need to watch that. All right. So how about who we like? Yes. Let's talk about the highlights of the stars we want to see win. Who do you want to see win?
You know what? I want to give my yes or my star to Mr. Bananas himself, Johnny Bananas, aka the king of the challenge.
Yes.
I know CT was on there for a long time. CT took a break. And so I think that the producers was like, we need that on this season.
Yes, you got to have it.
That Johnny is back. Like,
I love Johnny.
It's like he's never left. He's still him, but he's a lot more mature. He's paired with Nani this season. That's his ride or die. Oh. You know, they go back. And her mom just passed, like, right before they started taping. So it was this really emotional kind of, like, fight where you want... I've always wanted Nani to win, but, like, more than ever, you want Nani to win, and Johnny's, like, dedicated to that. Yeah. Now, Johnny's still a snake, but he's not, like, a snake where he knows how to play the game. He knows how to play the game, and he's smart about it. People are throwing punches, but it's not really hitting, and I really feel like they're going to win this season because I just believe in, like, angels, and there's certain things in the game where they've been, like, safe twice in a row, and I'm like, I think this is her time. But I just love how he's being a partner to her.
Yes.
He's listening to her. He's being there for her, and I just like him on the show. I love his commentary. I love this dumb stuff he says.
My favorite seasons are always with Bananas. Bananas and Wes, of course, but it's still always my favorite. He's the funniest. He doesn't care, you know, like, he cares, but he doesn't. And he knows how to play the game. He's very smart. He's cocky. He's athletic. And
he's good TV. He's not annoying. Like, yes, he stirs up hot, but it's, you still root for Bananas. Like, even though he stole that girl's money, I still was like, man, I probably would have did that too.
Right.
I ain't like you like that.
Right. So. Well, my yes. Oh, wait, are you done?
Yes, that's it. Just love Johnny.
My yes, a quick shout out again to Layton of Sex Life of College Girls. I'm really just proud of her coming out the closet. And I want to see her come more to terms with, like, coming out with her family and stuff. I'm sure they're going to follow that in the show, but we're seeing her come out on campus. And even with her wanting to be this Kappa Kappa sorority, that she's a legacy because her mother was one. She ends up, you know, kind of getting outed at the Kappa Kappa Rush by one of the girls that she gave chlamydia. And, but you see her just embrace the truth. And it's again, what she's representing as a lesbian, I think it's really good and groundbreaking. And I'm rooting for her in her lesbianism. And Kimmy on Love and Marriage Huntsville, we're following her. She just found out that she has breast cancer. And it's just so, it's, I'm not going to say it's sad, you know, because it's empowering watching her remain empowered. You know,
right.
She's going through it. You see it, like she's cutting her hair. Her hair is beautiful, by the way. I didn't know.
I did see that clip. It looks amazing.
I did not know she had all that hair because she's wearing it under the wigs, but her hair is gorgeous. But she cuts her hair because she knows that it's going to start coming out as she does the chemo. And you're seeing Maurice stick by his wife's side. Her family, everybody coming together to pour into her. And I just really commend her for sharing her journey on reality television. I'm sure it's empowering and inspiring to tons of people. So she gets my yes. I'm rooting for Kimmy.
Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for her too. That's beautiful. I'm really happy that she shows that because a lot of people wouldn't want to put that on TV. And it's inspiring to just see people, you know, fight the good fight. So sending prayers to Kimmy. I hope you're good, girl.
Prayers. So now let's get into a deep dive. I know you have one you want to talk about as it relates to Drag Race.
I mean, you know, I just have a question. You know, I love Drag Race, right? I watch all of them except for the ones in another language because I am not that fast of a reader. And it's hard for me to catch up. But Canada, UK, Down Under, All Stars, if it's RuPaul's Drag Race, Tanae is watching it. I even watch old episodes of Drag U. The celebrity one I watch sometimes, but I didn't like it when it was a competition. I like it like when it's a per episode thing.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Drag Race versus the World.
Okay, who is that? Who's on that?
Okay, so the idea is good. It was on kind of like Drag Race Twitter that RuPaul was trying to get a way to put all queens across multiple avenues together on one show to compete. So I've heard that they were going to do like an all winners season for all over the world. Then I heard they were going to do like just like a best of the best. But now it's RuPaul, Drag Race, whatever versus the World. So the first season was UK versus the World. They take at least 1 to 2 queens from Canada, Australia, UK, and America. Maybe like 8 or 9, and they put them all against each other, but not in America. So the first one was UK. Blue Hydrangea won that season. I didn't really watch this season because the format is a little like, kind of like All Stars, where they like vote people out, but then it's kind of like also not, it's just a lot. And I just don't think it makes sense in the way they're doing it. I wish it was just like a regular Drag Race season where Rue got to vote people out because it's versus the World. This season has a winner on it from Canada. Last season didn't. But this season, I started episode 1, especially because they have one of my favorite queens, Victoria Scone from UK, the first like cisgendered woman to ever be on Drag Race. And she's a lesbian. Love her. She's on it. So I wanted to watch it, but it just gets boring. And so I just wish that they would have the format one, like a regular like Drag Race season with everyone from the different countries competing. But also, I don't know why, and I keep Googling it and I can't find the answer, but Rue doesn't host Canada. That's the only franchise she never hosts. It's Brooklyn Heights from Drag Race. And then this other Tracy Melchior, she's like a anchor. I don't know why Rue can't host, but Rue's never been on an episode. She doesn't host it. So this season is Canada versus the World. They have Brooklyn Heights on it, and it's weird. It's one thing for Brooklyn to be, it's one thing for her to be judging other Canadian drag queens because they're not big in America, where Brooklyn, it has a name in America and Canada. But to have her judging Silky Nutmeg Ganache,
right,
somebody who like she only beat out by one lip sync, I can't take it seriously.
Yeah.
So I just can't. It's weird seeing like Priyanka, Canada's first season winner, like judging someone who was on her season along with like a Raja. So I feel like if they're going to do this RuPaul versus the World, it needs to just be Ru. Because I mean, I don't mind the queens getting their shine in their other countries, but I feel like when you put that, I'm not a fan of that one. And I also just want them to just make it more interesting because I love the format of seeing them against each other, but I'm also bored.
Yeah, I mean, the ratings will show that. I wish that they would at least film it in America so we could watch. They know that primarily the audience is in America. And that's why, you know, we've been missing out on all these other amazing seasons, because I get it with the whole laws or whatever that we can't watch stuff in you. I don't know, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's on their app. It's on like the Wild Presents Plus app. So I have the app for now.
But I mean, it sounds like I'm not missing anything, so I don't need to watch it.
No, I don't think so. You know, it's just, I mean, it's good. I just wish they would kind of keep that format to one only Ru hosting, so UK or America, and then just change it, because I'm over it already. I know that's not that deep, but I'm over it.
I'm checking for the next season of Drag Race on VH1.
Yes, okay. That'll probably be by end of year. Oh, yeah, probably Christmas time. It usually comes out around your
birthday. I'm so excited. So now let's get into Portia's wedding.
Ooh.
Portia married her second husband, Simon Gwobadia. If you are not familiar with him, he made guest appearances in season 13 as the husband of Fallon, then Gwobadia, now Fallon Pena. It was a big, messy breakup. He left Fallon, and him and Portia got together very quickly after. But at the same time, Fallon was already pregnant by someone that used to work for them. Because Fallon gave birth to her child in that August. And so girl, August is the 8th month of the year. That means that baby was conceived like November, December, and you were still technically married. So yeah.
That whole thing is
the
messy.
Whole thing is just a hot mess. But now messy. Portia, let me say something. Shout out to Portia. She looks fabulous. As someone who just got married, I'm always very jealous of the Porsches and the Paris Hiltons that got that bag and can have that dream, gorgeous Cinderella wedding with multiple gorgeous gowns and looks. She had a guest list of 250. She had two weddings. The one on Friday was the Nigerian theme. The one on Saturday was a regular American, where she wore a Cinderella gown. The Nigerian one, she wore this gorgeous Nigerian gown, and all the guests wore Nigerian garb. Like, everybody came in their different Nigerian inspired garb. I saw Giselle was getting dragged for her.
Dragged, girl.
Like, it's just, someone was like, I think she does it on purpose at this point. But
I saw a TikTok where they were like, sometimes it's just, she tries so hard.
I don't even think she tries.
And never lands. It just never lands.
I think she's that girl that has been pretty her whole life and has never felt like she needed to try. And she doesn't. And it's like, girl, just please hire a good stylist, a good one. But she doesn't. But Giselle was among the familiar faces. There was Nene showed up with her nipples out. Old nipples, panties showing, but it was her look. Her body did look very snatched. Drew was there. Candy was there. Candy said her and Nene said hi and gave each other a hug. Kim Zolciak was there. Oh my gosh.
Kim
Zolciak was there. Nene was there. You know, like, it was just like, I just can't believe Bravo dropped the ball on this one. He like missing this right here. Cynthia was there. From Miami, Alexia was there with Marisol. Who else? Gosh, there were so many housewives. Quad was there from Married to Medicine. Monique Samuels
Bravo
was there.
BravoCon.
Yeah, Monique Samuels was there with her husband. And then it was announced that they're not coming back to Love and Marriage DC. Carlos King was there. It just looked like a big mix fest. I did see a clip. It was like late into the evening and they're doing the swag surf. And Simon just looks like he wants to go to bed. That's his bedtime. I saw another tweet that it was just like, what was it? It was like, it was like the picture of Simon and then his net worth of 44 million. And they're like, oh, I get it. And then the next picture is Idris Elba.
Lord. Because
let me tell you, that 44 million hit different, baby.
I think she looks beautiful. I think Portia is absolutely stunning. I cannot stomach this relationship. It just makes me sick. It's weird. I just think it's weird. I don't know. I can't just marry somebody that I met as
my friends. Like, I just could never do that. I don't care. Because, you know, we watched that horrible show, the House of Lies and Lies. And she said that he came to her, but he told the truth and said that she slid in his DM. I just think she's money. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's based on love. And I can't stomach stuff like that. Like, I just, right. I can't. I don't wish bad upon anybody, but it just makes me sick. I think she looks, two things can be true. She looks absolutely amazing. It's giving 3 years from now, she'll be on Housewives with her divorce. Like Cynthia, who's coming back next season. Mark my words.
I can't wait till she comes back. I cannot wait. But I mean, at the same time, we're seeing this clear day, but you know, going back to Potomac, Mia has shared her story. And in a way, it's very similar. You know, she said that Gordon was married when they met. And then they went on to get married. There's an age gap there. There's a wealth gap there. But they are still married. So I don't want to say that Portia and Simon don't have what it takes to work. Like, maybe.
Yeah, but Gordon wasn't married to Jacqueline. Now, if Gordon was married to Jacqueline and they were still together, I would get it. I would be like, yes. But Gordon was married to another whole random person.
Yeah.
Right. Portia met this man as this other woman's husband.
Yeah.
And I can't think for a second that when they do have they bad, that shit not gonna pop up. That's too big of a thing to start this relationship with. I'm not gonna say it's not gonna work, but that is a huge, like,
yeah.
I just think that's a big ass, there's a lot of hurdles in life. That's a huge hurdle that we're gonna pray.
Well, in the meantime, between time, she better spend that money. She better secure that bag.
True.
And just make sure if it don't work that she able to walk out like Ashley Darby with a nice little settlement. Okay?
Look, whatever that prenup say, how long you gotta stay married for, Portia?
Right. She,
stay married to like 2 days.
Theirs was Ashley and Michael's was 5 years and they made it 8. So Ashley cashed out. I'm cashing out. So there you go.
Portia has learned the way.
Right. But we got some time. A special mention of old shows. I know you've been watching. What have you been watching that's old?
I love visiting the oldies, but the goodies personally. I think that's why I don't watch as much new TV, because I watch the same thing. Mm-hmm. But particularly, I'm trying to be like my best friend and watch every franchise of The Housewives. I only watch like 2 to 3 religiously. But I told myself, okay, we have Peacock. We're going to watch all of them. So yeah. I'm starting Jersey from the beginning. But how we do it is first episode, last episode, all of the reunions. We are not watching 14 years of TV. So I am currently up to season 9 or 8. Okay. I just finished 7 because Siggy was on season 6 and season 7. So I'm just now starting 8. And I think this is when Jackie first comes.
Jackie came and Margaret.
Yeah, this is Margaret's second season. So I think this is 8. This is Margaret's second.
Margaret's first was Siggy's last.
Right, exactly. And that was season 7. So I'm starting season 8. I love the backstory of like knowing Teresa, seeing everything that goes on with her husband. Like, yes. I think two things can be true. I think she is not the brightest tool in the shed, but I think she loves hard.
Yes.
And I think she loves her family. She literally was like any other woman, Italian woman at that. My husband gonna do everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it was no way, especially seeing like how her parents eventually both pass away, that like I would feel that resentment towards her too. And speaking of Siggy, like, she's crazy. She was crazy
on the show. Something was off with her.
And her last season, I was like, yeah, no, something is off with her.
She got mad about the cake thing. Like, there was just a lot. It was like she was erratic.
She was so fucking loud in that,
yeah,
in that freaking nice behind Tampa, nice, I think Orlando, yes, Tampa restaurant, yes, and going crazy over a cake.
Over a cake.
But then I looked her up recently. She is Donald Trump's best friend.
Really?
I'm like, first of all, none of the housewives follow her. She doesn't follow them. She has all her comments off, and she loves to like put things like, you know, I really have my comments off because I want the lefters to get mad. Just, oh my God, crazy Trumper. you know, sorry for listeners who like Trump, but also I don't care.
No, I mean, in a way, Mark has an old coworker who, you know, back in the day, he was real like spiritual, religious, but it was cool. Like they liked it. They didn't mind being around him and listening to him talk about God. But now in recent years after Trump, like he's become this big Trumper, like crazy, where he kind of says similar things. And so like now when you're bringing up Siggy and then I'm thinking of Mark's old coworker, it's kind of like Trump really appeased, I think, people who was already a little mentally off. And if you're already religious, like, you know, you're already like, because there's a difference between being spiritual and religious. So I think if you were already religious and a little erratic in ways, Trump totally spoke to you. And these people love that man. They love him. It's real weird.
Legit. It's like, the people who always needed something to do, something to look up to, something to focus on, that's what they do. And I just think it's interesting because I'm watching the show from, I think this was 2017, 18. So now to see her in real time, and then I always Google like what happened to them. So apparently she announced before season 7 reunion that she was leaving, but they were going to fire her anyway because everybody hated her.
She was weird. And
I can see.
I was not even mad when she left. I was like, bye. And I still like Margaret's addition. They recently demoted Jackie. They're going to demote Jackie this upcoming season. She just got demoted, rightfully so. I think like last season, I appreciate that she shared her journey with growing up, you know, having an eating disorder. But it was just like, girl, you ain't giving us nothing else. And it's like, that's nice. But like, you could describe this as a friend. So she just got demoted. And now they brought on two new ones. I'm really excited to see how this goes. Because ultimately, Jersey is ran around Teresa. And then this quarrel, a longstanding quarrel that she's had with her brother and sister-in-law, it's now taken new heights. I'm so excited for this new season because I remember years ago, this is back when I was still living in New York, Sonya's always watched all the Housewives. So as I started finally catching up, we would talk about it. And she never understood why I didn't like Melissa. And I'm like, Sonya, how have you been watching from day one? And you like Melissa. Like, you could see it clear as day from season 3 that Melissa was so sneaky and conniving and always shading Teresa. But at the same time, playing like a victim. And I think, now granted, Teresa was wrong in a lot of ways. Remember when Teresa got caught trying to say Melissa was a stripper? Like that was mean, like that was some mean girl shit. But at the same time, you're seeing Melissa in her confessionals make all these backhanded remarks about Teresa, you know? And
yeah,
it just to me was kind of highlighting her character. And so now in recent times, we're finding out how hard Melissa went to get on the show while Teresa was already on the show. And then, you know, you see Melissa on the show and she really just wanted to try to be this pop star on display. And
those songs are horrible.
Horrible. And I just think in a lot of ways, we're seeing that actually Melissa might have been jealous of Teresa. And then she came on the show trying to make it seem like Teresa was jealous of her. But it was like, you probably were jealous watching Teresa get all this fame on the first 2 seasons of Housewives. And you're like, I could be better than Teresa. I can sing. I can do that. You know? So it was just like, and then I always remember something too, when the daughters were really young, it was like Melania and Antonia. They were like 2, 3 years old and they went to this little arts and crafts thing. Melissa and Teresa went with their daughters and they were making bracelets. And I remember Antonia wanted to pick all these different little colors and Melissa told her, no, you have to make it have sequence. It needs to be pink and then white and then pink. And like and Teresa was like, you know, I let my daughter pick whatever she wants. And Teresa was like, Melissa was like, that's nice. And then now speed up to this past season when Antonia is now in high school, a cheerleader in high school. She had an injury that took her out of cheerleading. And now she doesn't want to cheerlead anymore. But Melissa is not having it. She is forcing her daughter to do cheerleading.
Oh, that's weird. That's
kind of making it right. And then kind of making it seem like it's for her better good. And I just always remember that this is the, just, you know, I pinpoint little things about people if I'm watching you on television, especially reality television. And I'm just like, I just think that Melissa is just she's the one, everything she tries to make Teresa out to be is what Melissa is. And I've kind of always seen that about her. And I think that we're going to see more, like, you see how long it took us to start to see Robin's true colors on Potomac.
Yeah. So or who you are is going to show, especially with the show and with the fame and like it's going to either enhance who you are or like make who you are. That's why I don't care what nobody says about Candy. Candy's always been Candy and she's just, it just makes her that way. She's always going to be her. But people like Melissa, I'm starting to see it a little bit. Like I'm in season 8, so it's not as deep, but I do know that, like, I do agree with that whole, like, envious Teresa thing. And I could see her, like, coming with that notion and thinking it's actually probably better for her to beef with Teresa. All I know is that her brother should never forgive himself for not walking his sister down the aisle. I don't care what it
is. There is no
That's excuse. No excuse, Joe Gorga. None.
Ever.
None.
On top of the fact that they're the only siblings.
Your fucking parents? Are fucking rolling over in their grave.
That's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking. So yeah, there's no going back to that. Even if he went by himself or Melissa stayed home. You know what I'm saying? Like there's dynamics, there's family dynamics like that where like my wife, you know, don't get along, but this is my sister. I'm still going to support my sister. It's just, it's really unfortunate to see kind of what happened, what's happening with them. But at the same time, it makes for great television, and I will be tuned in.
Because we watch too much TV.
So let's close out with our positivity. That was my high note.
You got to hit it with the hoo. Next time we got to go in the shower and hit that note. My positive note is from my CoStar app.
They love
that. Because positivity comes from anywhere, guys. So it says, acknowledge your limits, figure out how to grow within them. And that is for me because I am figuring out boundaries and saying no and growing within my limits.
No means no.
CoStar, okay?
My positive quote, first of all, I literally grabbed it when we were about to start recording. I was like, oh, I don't have a quote. And then I just went to positive quotes on Twitter. And now I found a new page that I'm going to follow. Positive vibe cue.
All right.
It says, the older you get, you start to see how important privacy is. Not everyone needs to know what goes on with you. And that is very true. I think like, especially for those of us that grew up on social media, you kind of go through a phase, a point where you're like really realizing like, you know, I don't want to share this, you know, but in the early start, especially like in our 20s, the early 20s, oh my gosh. I put everything on Twitter in the early days. Like every thought I had, every emotion was tweeted out. And then as you kind of get older, it's like, first of all, you just don't care. And then, you know, the other thing too, is just like, you really enjoy being in each moment with yourself, not having to share that with other people. So I've been feeling that a lot more than recently.
And just solitude. I feel like today is hard. That's why I spend a lot of time just in my own thoughts. Because it's like, we're on social media. We have these distractions. Life is lifing. Like, right. Solitude and privacy is so important. So thank you for that word. Let me go follow that page.
Positive vibe cue.
Don't forget it. At me.
And with that, we are out.
Episode 2 in the books.
So our closeout slogan is love, abundance. Peace. Tanea, you say it right. Tanea, I'm going to need you to get our slogan down, okay?
Our slogan is everything. No, it's love, peace. Tanea, and no, love, abundance, and hair bundles.
That is not. It's not hair bundles. It's just bundles. And you're the one that made it up. We are not cutting this out. This is hilarious. Okay.
It is love. Okay.
I made up the slogan, y'all. Tanea is the one that coined the phrase. And then each week I keep throwing it to her. Like the slogan is, and I can tell she don't know. She's like, love, peace.
Peace. And so.
Love, abundance and bundles.
Yes, love, abundance, and bundles, or folax, whichever you prefer.
Yes. And with that, we're out. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.